today we continue to look at Christian stewardship. And we are focusing on the theme that says, what? What's the theme? Great is thy faithfulness. And we truly and honestly can say that God has been faithful to us. Amen. Nobody can stand up and honestly say that God has not dealt with me fairly. And God has not been faithful to me. In spite of, we all can look back and say, great is thy faithfulness. Let us pray. Oh God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you today for this great church, the church of your own planting. And as we stand in our lots, as we do what you have asked us to do as faithful stewards, I pray today, Lord, as we share thoughts together, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable in your sight, for I know that you are my strength and our Redeemer. And let us all say, amen. I want to suggest this morning that there's a big difference between knowing about God and knowing God personally. Whether in prosperity or in adversity, it is very important to have a personal experience with God. And this should be our daily desire. As the song says, I want to be like Jesus. Jeremiah, writing in the book of Lamentation, in the midst of Israel's crises, Israel was reaping the harvest of rebellion and disobedience. He saw what Israel had planted come to fruition, and they were going through a time of crisis. And for a while, he started to focus on the crises. And then it occurred to him that, you know, it could have been what? It could have been worse. And so he stepped back and began to look at it from the other side of it. And then he exclaimed, it is of the Lord's mercies. Why? We are not totally wiped out. It is because of God's great compassion that never fails, that causes us to be alive today. And all of us can say amen. And he says, in spite of what's happening around us, God's mercies are what? New every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. So in spite of, we can agree with Jeremiah and say with all the positivity, great is your faithfulness. I want to share with you my thought about stewardship. I believe that it is knowing God that will allow us to trust God. And when you are certain that God is speaking, it becomes easier to respond. And it doesn't matter how difficult the circumstances may be, the moment we recognize that the voice is the voice of God, then we will be finding it easier to respond. It was because Abraham knew the voice of God. When God asked him an impossible task. Impossible from his human perspective, because this is what we preach against. Child sacrifice is something that we see the heathens do. But we are God's chosen. We don't offer our children a sacrifice. But he never doubted, he never questioned that this is the voice of God. The moment we know for sure that it is the voice of God, it doesn't matter how difficult the command is. Since God says it, I accept it, and it is what I will do. So I'm saying this morning that if you know God, nobody who truly knows God will disobey God. Nobody who knows God's might and power. There are some dictators that we obey them because we know who they are. Nobody who knows God's power and his might will choose to disobey a God who can turn off his light, turn off his oxygen and what we have left. Nobody who knows who God is will disobey God. Nobody who knows how kind God has been will be unkind to God. When God has been blessing you, if you really know God, it is difficult. No one will be unkind to God who knows of his great love towards mankind. I believe that no man will withhold from God when he knows that everything truly belongs to God. And the song we had by Commander McFarland, it says that it is God who creates what? Everything. Nobody who knows that will want to hold back from God. No one can refuse. No one would refuse the call to salvation who truly understands the gift of salvation. Salvation that was put in place long before the plan of salvation was, the plan of creation was put in place. Nobody, I sincerely believe that no one will refuse to be thankful to God when we understand the many blessings that he continuously bestows upon us. It is my profound belief that God's faithfulness cannot be called into question. So when we choose our subject for today, we choose this with the understanding that God's faithfulness cannot be called into question. God has been good. Good to all of us. More than we deserve. Today, everybody call out for justice. We want justice. Well, justice is what you give somebody. And this is what I say to many wives when I help them to get married. I say, you must decide what your marriage is going to be built on. It's a covenant or it's a contract. Is it something that will be built on justice? For if your family life is built on justice, we will seek to give people what they deserve. But if your marriage is built on grace, then grace is what you receive when they don't deserve it. And so I said to some wives, you know, when your husband don't deserve some things, give him still and call it grace. Because you will have less conflicts when you build your principle on grace than justice. Justice say you don't deserve it, you can't get it. Grace say you don't deserve it, but you get it because Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. You know, I need to switch. You know, somebody asked, which indeed should be greater, tithes or offering? Which? let me tell you. I believe that when God created the world, He knew, well, God is above law. And some of our laws will say that if you have a property and you don't visit the property within certain time, and somebody stays on your property undeserved, unmolested for how many? 12 years? Are they about? That person automatically lays claim to your property. And God is above law. So God says, I'm giving you, but I'm going to charge you a peppercorn rent for you to keep on reminding yourself that this earth belongs to who? To me. So God charges us a rent called tithe. It's a rent that it is not a wish. It is a command. And God is God. When God speaks, we don't question God. But we need to understand stewardship against the background of the great controversy. What is the great controversy? The great controversy is a struggle that started where? In heaven. It was played out. It has been playing out on planet Earth. And so John, on the Isles of Patmos, declared woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Why? For the devil has come down having what? Great wrath. Because he knows his time is short. And what he seeks to do, hear what Peter says in 1 Peter 5 verse 8. He says, at this time we must be sober and vigilant. Why? Because we are living on an enemy territory called earth. And the dragon, like a roaring lion, going up and down, seeking as many to devour. Man lost his footing. And Satan became the prince of this earth. And the moment that Satan took control of this earth, he knew that he put God in a corner. God had a choice. God, I know you claim to love them, but if you are going to regain man as yours, because they are my prisoners of war. And he says to God, God, you can get them. And God said, name the price. An angel took over from Satan, from Lucifer, when he left heaven. And so Lucifer decided that he was going to ask God to give up that angel who took over the leadership of the choir. They talk about choir, there's always trouble in the choir because that's where the devil has greatest experience. And most of our churches struggle with the choir because the devil knows that arena belongs to him. Is that what his portfolio in heaven? And so he said, I could ask for the angel that took my place. But then he said to himself, that might not be difficult. But I will ask of you, God, an impossible request. I will ask for the life of Jesus Christ, the one who sits beside you on the throne. If you want back mankind, then your only option now is to let Jesus pay with his own blood. When that request was made, silence. Silence. Silence moved across the heavenly family, because it is not possible, they say, for a creator to die for his creature. It is like having a pet and the pet gets sick and wants an organ. And you have a choice between giving your son or to let the pet die. Now, anybody who gives his son for the pet would be counted as what? You can name it. Might decide that he really loved this pet. But when Satan made the request, and when silence pervaded the heavenly family, the silence was broken when Jesus came forward and said, "Father, I am ready." And the Bible says that when Satan asked that question, long before the question came, long before sin, God had a plan. And all that God did was to initiate the plan, and our redemption was bought and paid for by the blood, not by silver, not by gold, but by what? The precious blood of Jesus, our Savior, Creator, and Sustainer. If you have a child, and the child is so sick that the child needs a heart to survive, and when the child is now battling for life, and you need an organ, and somebody decide to say, "Now, I think that your child has a great potential. I am going to volunteer my life for your child." Person dies and your child lives. But the man would ask you, "I have one request. I have some children. Anything you can do to bless my children, I would appreciate the fact that having given my life for you, you are prepared to do what you can to bless my children." Now, if you have a living son and somebody died for that son, and that man has children, and you see those children, and you decide to be unkind to them, then that is something that is what? Ingratitude, not good. As a matter of fact, one of the signs of the last days is ingratitude. Now, when a man does this for you, and you appreciate the gift, if you have to relate to the peppercorn rent, and you want to express love for a man who was unselfish, which one should weigh heavier? Which one should be more? The gift of appreciation of your love, or the peppercorn rent that you were charged? Which one should be greater? Logics now, not in practice. Which one? Talk to me, Bertrand. Which one? Logics now. The appreciation ought to be more than the tax. I am not talking about our practice, you know. I'm talking about logics. And when somebody asks you, which should be greater, tithe or offering, the moment you place that against the background of the great controversy and the plan of salvation, there is no question in your mind, if you are reasonable, logical, and fair, that question logical would have an answer to say that love should supersede tax. Amen. And all I'm saying is that when you put things against the background of the plan of salvation, it changes the picture. Amen. And I just want to let you know that it is God's wish that we become the kind of person who demonstrate love. It is true that where we are in our society, that a lot of people are overtaken with the concept of success. Our society has placed such a premium on success that people are prepared to do anything to get what is called success. People will lie and cheat and murder so that they will reap what they call success. But if we are going to interpret stewardship against the background of the great controversy, we will have to accept the fact that God has never required of anybody success. For no matter how good you are and how much you try, success is ultimately going to be God's prerogative. And Ellen White says in the book Christian Service, when we work for God, we must not worry about success. We must do the work and leave the result to God. And so as good stewards, we must understand what it means to be an individual who is doing what God requires. And what do we find in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 2 says, moreover, it is required in stewards that what? That a man be found faithful. So the theme we have about great is thy faithfulness is a given. God cannot be reckoned with or spoken about as being unfaithful. God is faithful in every respect. The problem is our faithfulness to God. And so when the Bible says it is required of a steward that a man be found faithful, it means that God is not expecting for us to be successful per se, but God is expecting us to be faithful. Faithful to who? We must be faithful to God Almighty. We must be faithful to God because He has left no stone unturned to help us to understand what He asks of us so that we can respond as we should. God wants us to be faithful first to ourselves. You know, when you are faithful to yourself, then it is impossible to be unfaithful to your spouse. So we need to be faithful to our spouses, to ourselves. We need to be faithful to our employers. And I always say that, you know, the Adventist church should be bigger than to be found unfaithful on the job. I said to my AY leaders, when you want to run off your programs and print your programs, pay for it. God won't allow and God will not expect you to run off people's ink and people's paper at your workplace. If you do that, you are not faithful to God. When you have programs, you don't use your employer's time to do church work because that is not being faithful. And our church is big enough to have a budget where we can pay for what we use. Except we do that, we won't be good stewards. Can somebody say amen? Because we cannot be helpful enough to turn up at work on a Sabbath. Because we cannot go to work because it is not for us to decide. Or some workers, some employers will say, so ask your pastor, because you see that it's prime time now, and you can't come and Sabbath. Talk to your pastor, and he will be understanding. Because of that, Adventists who are good stewards should not be fired for being late for work. Can somebody say amen? Adventist workers must not be the first one to get up when 4:30 comes. The first one to get up, to leave, and the last one to reach work. If you are a child of God, we must practice kingdom-bound principles. Can somebody say amen? And so when they want to fire you because you can't come to work on Sabbath, they should say, you know, among the workers, individuals who I can depend on are Seventh-day Adventist stewards. Can somebody say amen? When the Adventist people are individuals who will say, and I find some Adventists unreasonable, you can't work on Friday night, you can't work on Sabbath. And they ask for somebody to come up on Sunday. And we step back. Our stewardship to say, we cannot come on the Sabbath hours, but if you want me 12 o'clock or 8 o'clock or 7 o'clock Sunday morning, count me in. It is about making ourselves indispensable. When they can't do without you because of who you are and how you are such a good person to deal with. And so I'm saying today, great is God's faithfulness, but God is depending on us to be found faithful. And when we are found faithful, we will not be bothered so much about success. Because, you know, one of my friends, the pastor, I am about to write a book. And the title of the book is Successful Failures. You know who are successful failures? Successful failures are people who put success as priority. And in an effort to gain success, when they reach the top of the ladder and look around, there is no wife, no children, no family, alone up the top. Successful failures are when you are up on the top of your ladder and you look for your children. They are on drugs. They are in gangs. They are involved in premarital sex. Your children are ruined because nobody has a better hold on helping your children to develop character, values, good attitude. A mother is a nurturer. But a father sets the target of dealing with values and attitudes. When a father stands up as a father, his daughter is going to be a better wife. A son will understand what it means to be a father, to be a husband. That is what, when we are seeking success as a steward, we are going to be successful. And a part of the mission is to have our families a part of that great success. Can somebody say amen? And as I close today, I'm saying successful failures is not found among good stewards. For as our scripture reading says, that God is our judge. And Paul says in Corinthians, chapter 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 10, that you know what? We all shall appear before the judgment seat of God, so that everybody will receive justice. For God says to John on the Isle of Patmos, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. For God to be a just rewarder, he must be a good evaluator. And so, we all will stand before the judgment seat of God, and we must give account. Every steward is going to have to give account of his stewardship one of these days. And if this is true, then we will have to accept what the Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, 13, and 14. If the above is true, let us come to the right conclusion, because we must fear God and do what? Keep His commandments. And this is His total package. Not one or two, but there are 10 commandments. And one of them says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That is not a wish. That is a command. One of these days, God is going to bring everything into judgment. With every secret thing, whether it is good or evil. So, we say this a lot in funeral services. In the light of the above, because we are being evaluated, for God cannot be a just God if He doesn't evaluate our work. When He does the evaluation and He's going to give commendation, it is justice for Him to look at those who have done well and say what? Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter in the joy. This is the objective of every good steward. And if this is true, we need to accept what the psalmist says. Lord, if that is true, teach us to number our days, that we might apply our hearts. May God bless you.